Oh, anytime, Steve. Thanks for having me.
All right. Let's start with just the aesthetics of it. Having nearly 3,000 people back in the building last night. Look, Bob, it came through the TV for me.
Yeah, having fans at PPG Paints Arena was huge for the Penguins, obviously huge for the fans, and it was just terrific. We're starting to see this around the league, you know. The Rangers had some folks at MSG last week back for the first time, and it did. It absolutely does come through. You're so used to the sounds you're getting from an empty that when you get 3,000, it sounds just terrific.
They didn't have Sidney Crosby last night. We'll get to that in a moment. But other people had to step up. And usually Malkin plays a little bit better, like he steps up a bit when Crosby isn't there. But Kapanen played terrific last night. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, he had two goals last night. It's the first time he's had multiple goals for the Penguins. In fact, first time in a couple of seasons that he's had multiple goals in a game. So they needed something like that from somebody. It can't just be Malkin, who did take his game to another level. But Kapanen's been a little inconsistent for the Penguins. He shuffled around. He's played with Malkin. He's played with Crosby. And last night he scored just a huge goal using his speed that got the Penguins back in it after they had allowed the first of the game.
In fact, I was about to bring that up. How big, in your opinion, emotionally was that goal to tie the game up, because the Flyers had jumped out to that 1-0 lead?
Yeah, just huge. Because the Penguins, I mean, look, one of the things that's been bothering them all season long is they fall behind routinely. And they've been able to overcome that and still win quite a few games, more than anybody in the league, actually, coming from behind. But that's not sustainable. They know that. And you continue to lose games or get behind to teams, it's a problem. And so when they got behind the Flyers and Crosby's not in the lineup, you know that they're searching for somebody to show them the way. And actually, that goal was the thing that turned the whole game around.
Tristan Jarry, I believe, he's now won 6 of his last 8.
Yep.
Okay. Why, Bob? Why are we starting to see just a little bit better from him? What's been the combination?
Well, he's reading plays for me better than he was early in the season when he was really struggling. I didn't think he was reading plays. I thought he was sloppy with his rebound control. For me, both of those things have improved considerably. You know, there's been some talk about the fact that early on he was a little too deep in his net and not cutting down angles the way he should be. I didn't see as much of that as maybe some other folks, but he has been routinely out on top of the crease and just doing a better job he had a giveaway last night. I mean, he got rid of a puck. He had it behind the net, and he didn't get enough on it as he was trying to get it to one of his defensemen, and ended up in the net and got the Flyers back in the game and pulled them within a goal. But the Flyers would have won this game if it wasn't for the way he played earlier. So for me, it's just getting back to a lot of basics about anticipating plays, reading plays, and making sure that there's not a lot of loose pucks laying around.
How do you feel about how they played in front of him? And then how did you feel about the next step where they were able to translate defensively playing in front of him to then playing offense? Because the defense was very involved in the goal scoring last night.
Well, it was. I mean, you know, Cody Ceci had a goal, and he's certainly not a big goal scorer. And so you welcome that every day of the week. If you're the Penguins, Mike Matheson had one, with Hart trying to get to the bench for an extra attack or so. That's a big help to any club, for sure. And the Penguins have been doing a lot of that recently. Most of it's been Chris Letang, to be honest with you. But I wasn't real wild about the way the Penguins played in general in front of Jarry last night. I mean, look, the Flyers generate the second fewest shots of any team in the league. This has been a problem for them. Even though, you know, you look at their record, they're right where the Penguins are. They're like, what, 3 points out of first place? It's not like they're doing poorly, but they should be generating more chances. And last night they got 42 shots. That's way too many for the Penguins to be giving up. And they got a bunch of those on the power play because the Penguins turn around and their penalty killing has been abysmal for the Penguins. And they gave the Flyers a bunch of power plays early. And the Penguins, and that's where Jarry really shines, Steve. Because if he doesn't handle they had 2 power play opportunities in the first 5 minutes of the game. If he doesn't play well, that game could have been over early.
Exactly. It would have been over big time early. I guess, obviously, which is a good team, the only kryptonite really so far for the Flyers has been the Bruins. I mean, I think they were 11-1 against everybody else.
That's right. They only had 1 regulation loss to the rest of the league, but, you know, had trouble with the Bruins. And, of course, you know, one of those came in the game at Lake Tahoe which was a lot of fun to watch. I'm sure that some of the players might have wanted a different scenario to play that game under in some ways, because it was a challenge to the players. But yeah, there's nothing wrong losing the Boston Bruins in the sense that they're still one of the best teams in the league. And yeah, they're going to give you problems. I mean, the Penguins have played them twice and they've lost twice.
Right, exactly. All right, when Crosby's out, you got to shuffle the lines a little bit. So this is only one game, obviously. Mm-hmm. But did you like the combination that they put out there last night? Because there is a domino effect.
Well, for starters, you know, you put Rust and Gensel with Malkin, which was the obvious move. Those three played together last year when Crosby missed 28 games, and they ripped it up. They played together for most of those games, not all of them, and those guys really did a good job, and I thought they were good again last night. The rest of it was really a big-time experiment for me. Kapanen played with Jared McCann, who had just gotten back to the lineup a couple games earlier. He's a guy who's moved between center and wing. The Penguins have used him in both places. He hasn't been consistent in either. And at center last night, you know, he played in Tanev, got a Brandon Tanev got a promotion. He was one of the leader in hits in the National Hockey League, a threat to score as a penalty killer to score shorthanded. He got a promotion to the second line. I thought they were okay. Teddy Blueger's remains on the third line. And then they recalled Josh Curry from the taxi squad and plugged him in as a centerman, played his first game with the Penguins on the fourth line. I didn't think they were very effective.
No.
So this is going to be, if Crosby's going to be out longer term, they're going to have to, Steve, they're probably going to mix and match these until they find the right combinations.
Right, exactly. All right. So now what's the, any additional information on Sidney Crosby? Because he's out yesterday doesn't mean he has it. It could be contact tracing, could be travel, whatever it may be. Do we have any additional information, or do we have to wait for the next game day?
Well, he didn't practice today, so he remains out, and that means it's likely he's not going to play tomorrow. And so, you know, the first thing you think about is his health, because we don't have any details. To your point, doesn't mean he's contracted COVID, but that's the first thing you think about is his health, like you would for any player. John Marino on the Penguins defense spent a day on the COVID list and then came right back. So Sid's not going to have the ability to get back that quickly. But it's problematic from the Penguins from a scheduling standpoint, Steve, because they've got March. Their schedule was restructured, as many teams have had happen in the league because of COVID cancellations. And they've got 16 games in 28 days.
Yeah,
16 games in 28 days. That would make this month will be the busiest month in team history. They're going to play a game every 1.75 days.
Really?
One game every 1.75 days. And if Sidney Crosby, this is not the right time for him to be out. Again, his health is the first thing. But if you're going to look at it from the Penguins' perspective, this is probably the worst possible time to lose him because the games are just bunched together.
Let me ask you a big picture question that goes to next season. Right now they're playing a schedule where you have the groupings of games. This week it's the Flyers week. Three games with the Flyers. I'm sick of seeing the Islanders.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Moving forward with the NHL with 32 teams starting next season, do you expect it to return to normal scheduling? Normal divisions. What do you see happening moving forward? Because I think, with all due respect, I don't think people would mind seeing the Seattle Kraken once.
Right, and there's a lot of people that are looking forward to seeing the Kraken and see how they make things go next year in their very first season in the National Hockey League. So this is what we don't know. The NHL has not said. Look, I think the NHL is approaching this, Steve, is that next season will be a normal season.
Yes.
There will be people in the buildings. The schedule will go back to being 82 games, and you'll add Seattle in to the Western Conference. Right now, the old Central Division is the only one that didn't have eight teams, so we'll see exactly how they get plugged into the equation. But, yeah, they're going to approach it like a normal season, and I think it seems like there's a pretty good chance of that happening right now.
I wouldn't mind if they won eight divisions. You know what I mean? Like the NFL, four in each, and then you kind of group up with three rivals, and then you can go to the next division. Yeah, you know, I mean, having
take the top two from each one.
Take the division winners in each one, then take the best records after that to fill it out. Have the division championship mean something by getting it. It doesn't mean that's where you're seated, right?
Yeah, no. Well, look, we can say one thing about the NHL, Steve, is they have said when this all happened a year ago that it's on the table as far as things to make it work. And I think they've proved that they're willing to try anything. In fact, I would say this about next season. This idea of playing a couple games in a row when you get to a city, instead of a home and home set where you're in New York one night and then the Rangers go to Pittsburgh for the next game, so it's a home and home. But doing it like this, where you get some for every team, there are going to be some examples where they go to a place and play two games in a row. I think that's going to stay. I don't think there's going to be a ton of it.
Yeah.
But you know, the players seem to like it. The fans like, look, they don't like three, four. I mean, some teams have played six games in a row against each other. They don't like that.
No.
But a couple in a row is doable.
Yeah. Arizona, Vegas. Great. Yeah. I mean, I'll say this from a play-by-play point of view. You're like, hey, okay, I don't really have to do much here.
Yeah, exactly. You've done your homework. You know exactly what's going on.
Penn State, Minnesota playing for the 12th straight day. I got it. We're good. Okay, I know all about Marcus Carr. Got it.
Yep.
My friend, absolute pleasure. Thanks so much. Always love talking pucks with you.
I love talking to you, Steve. Thanks.